time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the national champions.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
We have made it to the end of the week. Happy Friday, everybody. It is July 10th. Welcome in to another great edition of Overtime with yours truly, Bert Ramin, making the way to the airwaves here across the 605. Fridays are a big deal around here. I got fresh swag in the studio, fresh t-shirts to give away, so much more. It's an opportunity to win every single Friday on the show. Get you primed and ready for a big weekend across the sports world, where we saw a tremendous run at Wimbledon come to a close. Possibly another storyline emerging right now in men's semifinal number 2 of the morning across the pond. We also got World Cup to recap, World Cup to preview, Major League Baseball. Twins cooled off just a tinge yesterday in a loss to Cleveland. They got the Angels today, tomorrow, Sunday, then the All-Star break. We set the stage on those Minnesota Twins, get you the Friday parlay, high noon showdown, college football, NFL, Tucker Kraft talk, and so much more in the show. And we finish up the show talking about those Yotes. USD Coyote football, coaching change, quarterback change, a lot of change, returning starters, impact players, schedule outlook, pecking order conversation in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Media Day, by the way, for the MVFC is approaching on Tuesday. We will be there, boots on the ground, to get you some great audio, sights and sounds, and more. We're going to be diving in deep on the Yotes at the end of the show with Timothy Rosario of FCS Football Central, who has penned a great preview of the season ahead for USD, and an optimistic one in which he says, I think they're capable of doing what they did last year, and then some. We'll see. Last year, a couple playoff wins for USD. We'll see if they can get back there or better this year with the exit of the Bison out of the MVFC. Is the door open for the Yotes to take that next step? That answer is unequivocally yes, it is. Will they? That remains to be seen. We dive in on all things Yotes at the end of today's show. Call that 1240. Round the corner, Friday parlay, NBA, World Cup, Major League Baseball. And how about this for a headline in today's show? Minnesota Twins trade targets, who they could bring in around the trade deadline, which is at the beginning of next month. We dive into that and more in hour number one. Let's dive right into the scorecard here on a Friday. Major League Baseball yesterday, Kansas City lost to Citi Field to the Mets 7-3. New record for the Royals, 38-56. They continue to be in the cellar of the AL Central. Cubbies lost to Baltimore yesterday 3-2, and the Minnesota Twins certainly had their moments yesterday, including at the plate.
2-0 breaking ball hit high in the air. This has some carry to deep left field for Royce, and that ball is not coming home. Into the Treasure Island home run deck for a home run, and here come the Twins. Royce Lewis clobbers the first Twins home run of the series, and it's a 4-2 ball game.
So 4-2, Twins cut the lead down a bit. In the end, 5-2, the final. Cleveland beats Minnesota, first time in the series. They are now back to 2 games up on Minnesota for the second spot in the AL Central. Cleveland 5, Minnesota 2. It was the return of Bailey Ober yesterday. 5 innings of work, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 1 earned run allowed. Here's the veteran pitcher on how he felt yesterday.
Yeah, I felt good to be back out there on the mound competing against a division rival. Thought we played a good game today. Their arms looked pretty good and held us in check offensively, but just one pitch that kind of backed up on me that Arias got a good swing on. But overall, I feel like I was able to mix and keep them off balance. It's been sweeper felt really good today. Locating the fastball felt really good today.
And that's Bailey Ober, veteran pitcher, back on the mound for Minnesota. Now for a couple clips from manager Derek Shelton. Here's his overall thoughts on the series. Another win of a series for Minnesota.
Yeah, I think this team has shown our club has shown over the course of the first 90 games or whatever it is that, you know, they're always in games. They continue to battle. Today we just got pitched to. I mean, last night I think was a testament. We've continued to do it all year long. It's just today we got in a situation where you see why the Guardians win. That's their recipe. They go starting pitching to those two guys at the end.
That's manager Derek Shelton. More from Shelty here on the overall health of the team. They got a boost with Ober back in the lineup. How healthy is this squad as we're just about into the All-Star break next week?
Yeah, we're getting close. I mean, we're getting closer. You know, I mean, getting Bailey back and, you know, he won't have another start before the break. Jeffers should be soon. It's, you know, it's trending in the right direction in terms of getting back to full strength.
That's Twins manager Derek Shelton. Minnesota after yesterday's loss, 46-48, still penciled in as the third place team in the AL Central for now. Boston beat the White Sox yesterday 2-1. Chicago is 47-45, so just about one game better than Minnesota. Elsewhere, Detroit beat the A's 4-1. Milwaukee won in St. Louis 8-4. And the Rockies did what the Rockies do best yesterday, losing a baseball game in San Francisco, 8-2 the final. Colorado among the worst teams in Major League Baseball, 38-57. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, things get going at 5:40 this afternoon. Brewers at Padres, Phillies at Tigers. Moving on through the night schedule, you got the Royals visiting Baltimore, Reds home to the Cubs, Guardians at Marlins, A's at White Sox, Braves at Cardinals, Rockies at Giants. Minnesota will open up a series against the LA Angels, 6:30 pregame, 7:10 the official start time tonight right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Now for broad strokes of Major League Baseball, how about for the current state of young elite pitching? Paul Skeens or Jacob Mizorowski? Who is Jeff Passan taking for the next 5 years?
I am going to go with Paul Skeens just because he's done it for a little longer than Jacob Mizorowski has right now. I'd say right now, Jacob Mizorowski is the better pitcher, but I trust that Skeens is going to get his stuff right. It's down a kick this year, and Miz is, you know, I worry about Miz's health just because he throws so hard, but so does Skeens. So the right answer is I'll take either of them, but oh, this one's so painful. Yeah, I'll go with Skeens begrudgingly. I know I'm probably wrong.
There you go. Jacob Mizorowski this year, 10-4 with a 1.62 ERA. Skeens a little bit further down the totem pole, 3.58 ERA for Paul Skeens on the season and a record of 7-8. But again, on a much worse ball club in Pittsburgh than what we're seeing out of Milwaukee. And let's be honest, both of those guys are going to be Dodgers or Yankees in just a few short years. Elsewhere on the scorecard, let's dive into the WNBA talk. Indiana, a grudge match rematch with Phoenix last night. Fever win on the road, 92-89, behind 29 points and 8 assists from Kelsey Mitchell. Caitlin Clark did not play. Asia Wilson, double-double last night for Vegas as they win in Portland, 88-80 tonight in the WNBA. No area teams in action, but we'll see the Valkyries and Suns collide at 6:30. Wings at Tempo 6:30 as well. Sky and the Sparks, a nightcap of sorts, getting going at 9:00 on Ion TV. Into the NBA, where suddenly we are caught off guard by a pending investigation which might deplete and destroy a trade of Kawhi Leonard to Toronto. Here's the latest from Brian Windhorst, who said the Raptors knew exactly what they were doing, the investigation and the potential repercussions post-trade.
They contacted the league office and asked about this scenario. And the league office said two things that are important to realize. One, they would not block or stop a Kawhi Leonard trade. However, if there was a trade, the Raptors or whoever team acquired Kawhi Leonard would have to deal with any penalties that he was given as a result of this investigation. So this development is not new. What I suspect the Raptors and Clippers did here, especially after hearing from Adam Silver at the finals that it was getting time to wrap up the investigation, is that they believed that the investigation would be wrapped up by now. The Clippers have maintained their innocence since the start, and so they went ahead with it thinking that by mid-July it would be done. It's mid-July, and it's not done. And so the Raptors, you know, they've been negotiating with Kawhi Leonard on a contract extension. Kawhi Leonard came to Toronto, took and passed his physical, was there posing for photos this week when Kyle Lowry retired and the team announced his number was being retired. But they hadn't done the deal yet. And so the Raptors had to take this step because people across the league were wondering just what the hell was going on.
What the hell is going on is right in the NBA on that Kawhi Leonard trade that's not yet official, pending investigation. Here's Bobby Marks on what he expects moving forward.
He got the maximum allowed salary. So when he did the contract back in, I guess, whatever it was, 2019, and then there was another one in 2021. So it wasn't like the Clippers signed him to a non-max contract and then made the difference up in a, you know, whatever this aspiration, you know, case and everything like that. So at the end of the day, when we get through this, I would be very surprised if there was a voiding of Kawhi Leonard's contract. But if you're the Raptors, you can't take on that risk as far as until you see this investigation through.
All right. That's Bobby Marks in the NBA for ESPN. Let's talk about Rich Paul and LeBron James and the courtship of the king this offseason. The free agent is out there. The landing spots are out there. The teams have come calling, and in the weirdest way possible, by the way. If you haven't seen the story yet at ESPN.com, it's pretty darn unique. Apparently, there are teams that are leaving voice memos, not voicemails, voice memos, pitching LeBron James on why you should come here. This feels pretty darn desperate. This feels very 1980s. This feels like, hey, I got this crush on this girl. Let me drop a mixtape through her locker and say, please listen to this. I left several love notes in there for you. I put it together. All these songs remind you of me, baby. Let's make it happen. It's really weird right now. And Chris Canty is not a fan of the voice memos Rich Paul is sifting through and getting into the hands of LeBron James.
This is somewhere between odd and disrespectful for me, because the normal course of business would be, hey, I'm speaking to the agent or I'm speaking to the player, at least sending a text message. This sounds like someone wanting an ex to leave a message on the answer machine begging for forgiveness and to take them back. Like, this just seems really weird. Like, I want you to sit at the kiddies table and just wait for me to come deal with you. I want you to want me so much that I want to hear you beg. Like, this just seems really strange to do business this way.
It seems like it is a big seller's market right now for the services of LeBron James. All best and final offers in by Friday until we extend it further, because I like hearing from all of you. We'll wait and see on the future of LeBron James, but it is very unique that one of the oldest players, obviously one of the best players in the NBA still, is commanding such an incredible market, and all of the needle right now in the NBA pointed through LeBron James and that potential courtship moving forward, which I'm sure will not be coming to a conclusion anytime soon. Also on the scorecard, NFL football. Before long, we will see training camps open. Before long, we will see football. Whether it's watchable or not is a different story. The Hall of Fame game every year in early August. This year, Thursday, August 6th, Panthers and Cardinals, 7 o'clock on NBC. Your week one preseason matchups for our area teams. Lions at the Bengals, Packers at the Steelers. Those games will be Thursday, August 13th. Broncos debut their season that Friday, the 14th in Atlanta against the Falcons. And on Saturday, the 15th, you'll see the Browns visit the Bears, Vikings visit the Giants, and the Chiefs home to the Rams. Let's talk Bengals right now. Zach Taylor has been on the hot seat for what, a couple of years now? But Emmett Golden is pushing back and saying, there's one reason I don't think he's on the hot seat as much as you do.
I'll say this about Zach Taylor. He's on the hot seat from us, the media. But, man, and one thing I know about that Brown family, the owners, they do not pay coaches to sit at home. And he's got one more year left on his contract after this one. So his seat is hot from us. But I don't know if the Bengals would ever fire a head coach, you know, with time left on his contract.
Look, if Joe Burrow wants him out, guess what?
Yeah, I believe it. As you say, I'll be late to that party.
Yeah, I'll be
late to that party.
I respect that.
My man Marvin Lewis should have been fired 3 years before he got fired. And they're like, we're not paying you to sit at home. So you guys make some good points, but I'll be late to that party.
Maybe that's a good point from Emmett Golden on Zach Taylor. I, like many have said, if they don't get it done this year, if they're going to have another slow start, if they can't respond this way or that way, if they can't get the defense together to even be a shade of as good as the offense is in Cincinnati. If, and we have yet to see when Zach Taylor gets fired in Cincinnati be in concrete, and maybe not even in the concrete truck mixing around just yet. We'll wait and see on those Cincinnati Bengals. In the golfing world, Scottie Scheffler in danger of missing his first cut in a very long time at the Scottish Open that runs through Sunday next week. More serious golf, major, the Open, coming up Thursday through Sunday. Wimbledon action continuing. Women's semifinals yesterday. Karolina Mukova defeated Coco Gauff 6-2, 1-6, 7-6. And 9 seed Linda Noskova knocked out 12 seed Marta Kostyuk 6-4, 6-4. So the women's final, Mukova and Noskova, coming up tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And men's semifinal action, the story of the tournament. Hometown kid, Arthur Ferry, knocked out straight set victory for Alexander Zverev, 7-6, 6-2, 6-4 this morning. And incredible feats of athleticism, longevity, and more. Elite, elite tennis action on right now on ESPN. Top-seeded Jannik Sinner, 7-seeded. The old man, still one of the best players in the world, Novak Djokovic. Sinner up a set, 6-4, set one. Very early stages of set two right now on ESPN-TV. So Zverev is awaiting the winner of Joker and Sinner tomorrow. That'll be Sunday morning. That time officially still to be determined. World Cup action yesterday, standalone game. France got by Morocco 2-0. Today we'll see Spain and Belgium lock horns, 2 o'clock on Fox, where Team Spain a minus 160 favorite. And on Saturday, Holland and Norway facing off with England, 4 o'clock on Fox, Argentina and Switzerland, 8 o'clock. The nightcap Saturday night, where Nader Manawa is saying that Argentina, like they have been over the last couple of contests, could be in trouble, despite the fact that they continue to answer the call.
Based on what I've seen from Argentina so far, scraping through against Cape Verde and scraping through in some ways against Egypt, you could possibly say that there's potential for trouble against Switzerland. Whether or not Switzerland has that sort of like X factor to go and like be really aggressive against that Argentinian side, I'm not 100% sure, but Argentina could have and probably should have looked a bit better by now. So, you know, that's going to be interesting in itself, but I believe if Argentina play the way that they've played in their last two games, I think the surprise comes with Switzerland defeating them.
There you go. Argentina-Switzerland will be the final quarterfinal matchup in the World Cup. That matchup, 8 o'clock on Fox Saturday, following Norway and England. They get underway at 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. It's hour number one here on a Friday edition of Overtime. Chase Engelhard drove in four yesterday and hit the first Canaries home run as the Birds top Chicago 8-3 at Impact Field. The Dogs benefited from three Sioux Falls errors in the second inning to take a 1-0 lead, but the Canaries blasted two homers in the fifth to pull in front for good yesterday. Engelhard and Riewoldt each finished with two hits. Thomas Dorminey took a no-hitter into the fifth inning. Canaries are 26-23 and closed the first half of their season already with four games at Kansas City, starting with a doubleheader coming up tonight. 5:05 the start time, sfcanaries.com for more details. We told you about this yesterday, but I'll tell you again, because this is an amazing offer and a great opportunity to involve the youngsters in some great athletics in our area. The University of Sioux Falls Athletics Department excited to announce that registration is now open for this year's Junior Cougar Club, the official youth fan club for Cougar fans in eighth grade and under. It's presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. Junior Cougar Club is completely free for youngsters and offers young fans an all-access experience throughout the year, bringing them closer to Cougar athletics than ever before. All of the goodies that'll be mailed directly to the home include a USF Cougars pennant, Cougar sunglasses, stickers, lanyard, Junior Cougar Club membership credential, and included in that, free admission to all regular season Sioux Falls Cougar home athletic events, also opportunities to meet USF student athletes throughout the year, and a special birthday message from Cooper the Cougar. Great stuff. USFCougars.com for more details. Also told you about this first yesterday, but we'll hammer it home again. Adam Vinatieri getting into the big boy Canton Pro Football Hall of Fame Gold Jacket. Also going to get in to the Indianapolis Colts Ring of Honor later on this fall. It'll be he'll be honored on October 18th during the Colts game against the Tennessee Titans. During a distinguished 24-year career with the Patriots and Colts, Vinatieri became one of the most clutch performers ever at his position, including game-winning kicks in two different Super Bowls. But after joining the Colts as a free agent in 2006, many said, oh, yeah, it's just the Patriots' leftovers. We'll see what kind of career he can have. And boy, did he answer the call all the way out until 2020. In his career, Adam Vinatieri owns the NFL record for most points, most field goals made. And one of the most remarkable records is his NFL best streak of 44 consecutive field goals converted, which stretched between 2015 and 2016. Jackrabbit alum into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in August, Indianapolis Colts Ring of Honor in October, and should be, no promises, but should be in the Patriots Hall of Fame before too long. Steven Gostkowski also has a strong argument as well. Lastly here, breaking news out of Ames, Iowa this morning, centered up on the Iowa State Athletics Program. Iowa State AD, longtime athletic director Jamie Pollard, the longest tenured active AD among the Power Four conferences, announced today that he plans to retire next year. Pollard has led the Cyclones for 21 years. He plans to retire effective the end of June of 2027 or when a new AD is in place. A national search for a successor will begin this fall. According to school administrators, Pollard was hired back in 2005, became the longest tenured AD in school history, while overseeing a historic period for Iowa State athletics. Cyclones have won 24 Big 12 team titles in eight different sports under his leadership, with program best finishes in nine different sports and 24 NCAA individual champions. Pollard's hiring of football coach Matt Campbell in 2016 has led to a decade-long run of sustained success. You look at the history. I'm not taking pot shots here. It's a matter of fact. You look at the history of Iowa State football, it's generally not very pretty. But in the last 20, 25 years, it's been on the up and up and continues to be there. Jamie Pollard orchestrating hand in that. And in addition, also made the hire recently of TJ Otzelberger, who has restored Iowa State status as a Big 12 contender year over year, earning NCAA tournament bids in each of his first five seasons and has made three trips to the Sweet 16. Jamie Pollard set to hang it up at the end of June 2027 or when a new AD is in place there in Ames. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number one. As always, for a better local banking option for you and yours, check them out in person in the 605 or online at ReliaBank.com. When we come back, it's your first big opportunity to win over the weekend. You just got to be Nostradamus a bit and make some predictions. Sporting events over the weekend. Friday Parlay gets posted up live here in just a moment. It's a Twitter exclusive contest. Give us a follow on Twitter. Enter and win big with the Friday Parlay. Before too long, we're talking NBA, World Cup, Major League Baseball, and who the Minnesota Twins could bring in at the deadline this time around, should they choose to do so. That and more on the way. Just getting started on a Friday edition of Overtime right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
College hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this week-ending edition of Overtime. Happy Friday to all that celebrate July the 10th. Update from Wimbledon right now. We told you moments ago, Jannik Sinner took set number one against Novak Djokovic 6-4 in set two. Joker facing down a 2-2 tie in set two. He's got the opportunity right now to serve. We'll keep you posted if and when anybody is broken in set number two, as they are back to deuce at 2-2, set two on ESPN between Joker and Jannik Sinner. Let's talk basketball here after we tell you about the Friday Parlay. Parlay has been posted. We already got a couple people entered into the Friday Parlay on Twitter. We got World Cup, Major League Baseball, and PGA Tour Golf on the Friday Parlay this weekend. You can win big over the weekend with the Parlay Twitter-exclusive contest, including some tickets to see those hot Minnesota Twins after the All-Star break. Norway or England? England or Norway? You just make the pick for Saturday's first game. Saturday's second game also included Argentina and Lionel Messi against Switzerland, the happy-to-be-here ball club, if there was one, in the round of 8. Take your pick there. And lastly, the Angels visiting the Twins on Sunday. Who wins that game? Final game of the series, final game in the pre-All-Star break portion of the season. And your tiebreaker, winning score to par at the Scottish Open, always a PSA with golf. Include the plus or minus, please. It's trending towards a minus. You do not want to miss that. If you win the whole thing and you forget your minus in the tiebreaker, I don't want to be yelled at, so be sure you put the plus or minus in there. Enter the Friday parlay right now to win big over the weekend. Speaking of winning big, the Aces, Becky Hammon, is no stranger to that. South Dakota native and the Minnesota Lynx head coach Cheryl Reeve will be the two head coaches of the WNBA All-Star teams in Chicago near the end of the month. Hammond clinched a spot as an All-Star coach when the Vegas Aces beat the Portland Fire last night. The All-Star coaches selected on based on two teams, regardless of conference, that have the best winning percentage through the games played on Friday. Aces and Lynx each sit atop the league standings at 16-6. So it'll be Becky Hammon and Cheryl Reeve. Hammon has been named an All-Star coach two other times in her career, 2022 and 2023. And this will be Reeve's fifth time serving as an All-Star head coach. She also did it in 2013, 14, 17, and 2025. Last year, she led Team Collier to a win over Team Clark in Indianapolis. Other news to get to, let's go to the NBA, where we got our first real look at AJ DeBonsa. A buzz circulated through the Thomas and Mack Center last night as Anthony Davis, Trey Young, Cooper Flagg, and Jalen Williams navigated their way to courtside seats, but not in a seat out there on the floor were the bright young stars, the younger, brighter stars. The stars were all there to watch this year's number one pick, AJ DeBonsa, make his summer league debut for the Wizards against the number two pick, Darren Peterson, of the Utah Jazz. DeBonsa led all players with a ho-hum, joking, of course, 27 points, 7 rebounds in just 26 minutes to power Washington to a 92-88 win. To be fair, no slouch performance for Peterson either. He had 24. DeBonsa told ESPN afterwards, "Every time I play him, it's a great setting. He's got the best of me 3 times, 2 in high school, 1 in college. I just wanted to come out on top, get a first win, a win first and foremost." DeBonsa did not finish the game because of leg soreness, but still had 27.7 rebounds in just 26 minutes in a win. Safe to say, impressive debut for both players, but DeBonsa little more impressive last night in that summer league debut. Other news to get to. We told you about this. This is just crazy to me. It feels like a 80s mixtape flirtation, but as LeBron James' free agency decision stretches into the second week of inaction, some teams interested in him joining them have had an opportunity to pitch the 4-time champion, but indirectly. Sources told ESPN Shams Charania on Thursday that Rich Paul, James's agent and the CEO of Clutch Sports, has facilitated team executives in selling their vision to him by sending a voice memo for LeBron James. Bob Myers, the president of Harris Blitzer Sports Entertainment, who owns the Sixers, took the option one step further by appearing on the Game Over podcast with Paul and co-host Max Kellerman to espouse the Sixers' merits. A few other teams have had their owner, president, or GM record a voice memo. It is unclear whether the Cavaliers and Heat have been involved in that practice, as James has already had intimate familiarity with both franchises, having played for them in the past. This is odd and strange and weird and ugly, but I think the emphasis here is on the weird across the board. When you're a team president, an owner, a general manager, star player, are you really going to grovel at the feet of LeBron James here? Is he going to put you over the top? He'll certainly improve most teams in the NBA, no doubt. But this just feels odd to have to record a voice memo. And also, could you imagine a general manager or a team president or a coach recording these over and over? "Hey, LeBron, it's, oh man, I messed up. Let me take another cut at this one." Over and over. Or sending it to somebody to have them edit out the issues. Maybe put some smooth music underneath it to get LeBron James a little bit more enthused about joining your team. Kidding aside, this is just a weird note here via voice note, voice memo, courtship flirtation for LeBron James in terms of his next landing spot. And certainly we'll wait and see and continue to wait and see on where LeBron ends up. Now, the weirdest, strangest issue right now in the NBA is centered up on Kawhi Leonard. The Clippers and Raptors trade centered around the star will not be completed until the NBA investigation into whether the Clippers circumvented the salary cap is completed. Clippers and Raptors have agreed to a trade as of June 30th that would send the all-NBA forward to Toronto for Brandon Ingram, Grady Dick, unprotected first-round draft picks in 31 and 33, a first-round pick swap in 27, and two second-rounders. The Clippers, in a statement to ESPN yesterday, said the trade, quote, can only be finalized if the Raptors' ownership group assumes the risk of penalties related to Kawhi's contract that could theoretically result from the ongoing investigation. The Raptors, meanwhile, issued their own statement saying they would wait for the league's findings rather than assuming the risk, but they, quote, remain eager to bring Kawhi back to Toronto and look forward to a swift resolution for our players, our organization, and our fans. As is their right, why the heck would they assume the risk of an investigation for an organization that they're not a part of? The other organization may have, allegedly, maybe possibly, circumvented the salary cap, allegedly. Why should the Raptors say, oh, whatever the NBA finds, just put it on my tab. We'll take it over here. Doesn't feel right to me. I'm excited to see a conclusion here, figure out what the NBA finds. Clippers have maintained their innocence in this. It is a fishy scenario, no doubt. But I'm excited to see exactly where this goes, and hopefully the Leonard trade contract not impacted by it. But we'll see about Toronto and the Clippers trade that is not yet official, now 11 days later, since that trade initially agreed to. Not going to be official, at least for a little bit longer. Let's talk World Cup now. Monday night's round of 16 World Cup match between Team USA and Belgium didn't go well for the Americans. It went very well for the networks, though, that televised the game. Preliminary calculation for the combined audience on Fox and Telemundo and Peacock was 42 million. Pro Football Talk on the News, final number via Mike Mulvihill of Fox spiked to 50.1 million viewers. The NFL's conference championships in January, for reference, averaged 47.4. So that is a lot of eyes and ears and screaming and tears from a U.S. perspective. The final number for England versus Mexico on Sunday night wasn't far behind. That averaged 46.7 total viewers, not average, but total viewers, 46.7 million. We're invested, like our soccer here. Notice I didn't say we love our soccer here, but when it comes around Olympics, when it comes around World Cup, men's or women's, we have a tendency to buy in, dive in, and I think that's evident through those numbers for the American loss to Belgium on Monday. Well, there's a lot of big names to know remaining in the World Cup. Of course, many people, even the most casual soccer football fans, know the name Lionel Messi, however you say his first name. Messi's a name to know. You've got Erling Haaland of Norway, certainly another name to know. Kylian Mbappe of France has downplayed concerns. He's a name to know. Downplayed concerns over what he described as a knock on his ankle during France's 2-0 World Cup quarterfinal win over Morocco yesterday, saying, I'm all good. The star of Team France received treatment on the pitch at Boston Stadium from the France physio before being substituted in the 77th minute and replaced by Jean-Philippe Matita. 27-year-old walked off while applauding the crowd and did not appear to be in extreme pain. That is really good news. Norway striker Erling Haaland has insisted his side's chances of winning the World Cup remain really low. How about that for motivating your own team? But it's kind of psychological warfare here if you read the article at ESPN.com. Haaland, who has scored 7 goals in 5 appearances to fire Norway into the final 8 for the first time, said Thomas Tuchel's side should embrace their status as one of the tournament favorites. Really low still are chances, Haaland said when he was asked to rate Norway's chances of winning the historic trophy. I think there's some clear favorites out there. England is one of them. I think all of you reporters should put every single pressure on the English lads. The Manchester City man, who was born in Leeds, added, it's a special game, definitely. I think for me it's super special because I play in England. I was born in England, and you also play against teammates and everything else. It's a funny game, and it's going to be nice. Well, I don't think it's going to be very nice. Kind of a grudge match, regional rivalry, pretty darn cool. A lot of people on the Road chant for Norway. A lot of people rooting for Norway after Team USA's elimination from the World Cup. That's the latest and greatest in that area of the sports world. When we come back, could it be possible that the Minnesota Twins are buying at the deadline? Yes, I'm glad that you asked. It certainly could be possible. Also could be possible that we're talking about a Minnesota Twins team that is at or over 500 at the mid-mark of the season. All-star break next week. Minnesota could be over 500, could be at 500 as well. We'll let you know exactly where Minnesota could end up and also who they could be buying. A name or two to know for Minnesota if you're thinking this team should strike while the iron is warm right now in the AL Central. And I've got a strong opinion on Tarek Skubal to share. That coming up next. Major League Baseball, Twins trade targets, and the good, the bad, and the ugly coming up next on a Friday edition of Overtime.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's time to talk baseball on a Friday, July 10th edition of Overtime. Twins still pretty darn warm right now. Did lose yesterday in the series finale to Cleveland 5-2. Minnesota is 46-48, 3 games to go until the All-Star break. So Minnesota could be over 500 if they win all three. If they do not, they will be just a smidge under 500 entering the All-Star break. Third place right now in the AL Central. Let's get you your latest news before we talk trade deadline, which is at the very beginning of the month of August. We still got some time, but if you read at ESPN about all the names that could be on the move, including Tarek Skubal, the headliner potential to be moved, we'll dive in here in just a moment. You feel like the deadline is coming up tomorrow. Phillies first baseman Bryce Harper and the St. Louis Cardinals outfielder Jordan Walker will participate in the Home Run Derby in Philly coming up on Monday night. Harper and Walker will join Boston's Wilson Contreras, Kansas City's Jack Caglione, Tampa Bay's Junior Caminero, and Yankees' Ben Rice. The other three participants still haven't yet been announced. Harper announced he was entering on his Instagram account on Wednesday, writing, "Derby at home? Sure. Why not?" The 33-year-old is hitting .261 with 20 homers and 57 RBI, was selected for his 9th All-Star game as a legend pick for baseball's Midsummer Showcase. He will try to become the 5th player to win multiple home run derby competitions. Notably absent from the All-Star break and the home run derby and everything else is Aaron Judge. He will have his injured rib tested during the All-Star break, and the Yankees are hopeful the results will show that the 3-time AL MVP is on the mend. Judge has not played since May the 31st and went on the injured list June 5th with a stress fracture of his right rib after a CT scan, an MRI, and a meeting with a specialist. General Manager Brian Cashman saying yesterday, "I don't think we want to put him at risk of coming back while he's still injured. He should be asymptomatic before we turn him loose. If he's asymptomatic and not feeling anything and medical images are showing healing, then it's probably appropriate to get him going again. But we don't want to because the schedule is what it is. Put him in a position where we're putting him in jeopardy where it somehow gets worse." That is the heady approach, if you will, the smart approach from the New York Yankees as they're looking to get Aaron Judge back sooner than later. We'll let the sweepstakes begin for Tarek Skubal. There are 9 different trade proposals in an article at ESPN.com right now, and it'll make everybody upset and maybe even make Dodgers fans upset. Not really. That the Dodgers are your front runner. All 9 offers are categorized into no way in heck this happens. Too light. Too little. Not the right fit. And then there's the one that gets it done with a big LA logo in blue. The Dodgers deal. The offer pitched for Tarek Skubal would be a right-hander Emmett Sheehan, outfielder Zaire Hope, and shortstop Aiden West. And certainly, that would be a decent haul for a guy that's nearing an expiring contract in Tarek Skubal. The other teams that are in with potential offers, again, these are scratched out there, one of those dream scenarios. The Padres could come calling, Blue Jays, Pirates, the Cubbies, Brewers, Rays, Yankees, and the West Sacramento-based Athletics. So there you go. Let's make a Tarek Skubal deal. But what if I told you, and everybody's got an opinion on Skubal and where he is, who he is, how he is right now. What if I told you if I was Detroit, I wouldn't move him? Because Detroit right now is not a good ball club. But if you take a look at the standings, and I told any Tigers fans with horse blinders on in regards to the rest of the division, hey, your team is 7 games below .500. What a disappointment your year has been. Yuck. They would say, okay, who are we moving? Are we moving Skubal? Okay, I guess we'll do that. But if I told you you're 7 games below .500, but just 4.5 games out of first place in your division, that's not even out of a playoff spot, out of first place, 4.5 games, midpoint of the season, I think it would behoove Detroit to move on forward with Skubal. Don't move off your prized possession unless, of course, there's an offer that you cannot refuse. Cannot refuse. So for me personally, I do not move Tarek Skubal as currently constructed, because if everything turns up aces the rest of the way for the Tigers ahead of the All-Star break, we could be talking about a team that is 2.5, 3.5, 4.5 games out of first place. That is well within striking distance, well within, okay, they got out to that slow start. Remember the Phillies? We were burying them early in the year. They are now second place in the NL East, 3 games out of first, and well into playoff consideration and contention. So just like it was too early to bury the Phillies early in the season, it's too early to bury the Tigers right now as currently constructed. And they've won 5 in a row, 8 of their last 10. Hottest team in the Central. That includes the Twins, who have won 7 of 10. So if I'm Detroit, personally, maybe you shop around, maybe you buy somebody, nothing absurdly aggressive, but I don't think this is a season that you give up on just yet, especially because not just in the Central, but the American League in general is pretty darn stinky. Tampa is 54-37. Everyone else has 51 wins or less right now. And in the National League, you've got 3, 4, 5, 6 teams with 51 wins or more. So the parity's there. Punch a ticket to the dance for Detroit. You don't know what happens. You could get to the big stage. You could get near the big stage, sniff it around it, and you could keep Tarek Skubal. To me, I would tread carefully if I was Detroit. And if you get an offer that rocks your socks off, as the kids used to say, maybe you take that. But I would push back and say, not so sure that would be something that I do. Now, it would please every Minnesota Twin fan to know, that the Twins are listed as a contender in one article. That is deals that every contender should make. And Minnesota is, by a matter of fact, just that, a contender for the division, contender for the postseason. And you could argue, you're in the postseason, you are a World Series contender. Are the Twins a front runner? Are they sniffing around? No, not really. It's been a gem of a season, though, based on expectations. Minnesota is currently, after yesterday's loss, 46-48. Third place in the AL Central. And their weakness on the roster, according to ESPN.com, is starting pitching. No doubt about it, Pablo Lopez scratched from the beginning of the year. You've had injuries to Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober. They're getting healthier, but it couldn't hurt to add to the pitching rotation. Now, ESPN notes that the best match would be Washington Nationals left-hander Foster Griffin, and the dream would be to add a bigger name right-hander Kevin Gausman. Those are two names to know for Minnesota. And how inspired would it make you as a Twins fan to know, hey, my team even bought one player at the deadline, didn't send off anybody. We kept Joe Ryan. We kept Byron Buxton. Buxton feels like that's off the table, even though his name continues to get brought up. But if you keep Buxton, you keep Ryan, and you add one piece, a sizable piece, not a massive earth-shattering maneuver, but a sizable, respectable starting pitcher, rotation guy, can come in, fill a role, fill a need for a while or the long term. That feels like an inspiring maneuver for Minnesota, especially just like Detroit. This division is anyone's right now. Maybe not Kansas City's, but the top four teams, it could be anybody and not surprise anyone the rest of the way. I think the Twins would be on the more surprising level if they were to win the whole darn thing. But it'd be pretty darn inspiring to see Minnesota figure it out. Buy modestly, bargain bin buy at the deadline. There's a lot of that going on. You don't have to be the Dodgers. You don't have to be the Cubs or the Brewers or other big spenders. Brewers are not really big spenders, but the Cubbies, Mets, Yankees, Dodgers, those are the teams that are usually saying, give me this guy, I'll pay a premium for him, thanks so much. Let's go win a World Series. Minnesota is not in that realm. They don't have the cash in the coffers and the aggressive nature to go and do that. But it would be pretty inspiring, based on the inspiring start to the year they've had, for them to go and buy anybody at this stage of the deadline. Two names to know there: pitchers, Foster Griffin of the Nationals, Kevin Gausman of the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's finish up hour number one. Time to hit you with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Many days there are those who can be called a problem child. You know the ones. They have a tendency to display an ugly side. They have their whiny moments. Some display an outright bad side of themselves. And then there are those who stand out in a good way. Well, here they are. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, Anaheim in the National Hockey League. We haven't talked a lot of hockey lately, but Anaheim matched the Flyers' record-setting offer sheet for their center, Leo Carlson, yesterday, meaning the 21-year-old will remain with the Ducks on a five-year, $90 million contract that will make him the NHL's highest-paid player. It's going to be a special feeling having this pressure, Carlson said yesterday. I always wanted to be a Duck. It's my home, too, and I'm just super excited to be back. Ducks general manager Pat Verbeek told his peers privately that he would match any offer sheet for Carlson, though he said Thursday he was surprised by just how much Philly put forward for a player who was finishing up an entry-level contract that paid him just $950,000 a year. Going to make it a lot more than that. 5 years, $90 million. Leo Carlson, that's a trivia question. Who's the highest played NHL player? Leo Carlson. Not any of the other big names, the veteran players out there. Leo Carlson of the Anaheim Ducks is the highest paid player in the NHL. World number one golfer Scottie Scheffler will get an extra early start in his prep for his defense of the Open Championship. He's expected to miss the cut in the Genesis Scottish Open today, ending his nearly four-year streak of consecutive events in which he played on the weekend at 78. After carding a 2-under 68 at the Renaissance Club in North Berwick in the opening round, Scheffler posted a 72 on Friday for a 36-hole total of even par. Projected cut at the time of the article being written is 2-under, so Scheffler in danger of missing that cut. And lastly, ugly for Charles Barkley. He's a great sport. The slimmed down Barkley, and fresh off two of the best performances of his career at the American Century Championship, is not receiving much respect or love from odds makers at this week's event in Lake Tahoe. Yes, you can bet on anything these days. Barkley is 7,500 to 1 to win the annual Celebrity Golf Tournament at Edgewood Tahoe Golf Course, the longest odds of anyone in the field. According to Caesars Sportsbook, the best odds are for retired tennis star Marty Fish, two-time champion at the event, and hockey's Joe Pavelski, last year's winner. They're co-favorites at 3-1. And Steph Curry, prior champion, and baseball announcer John Smoltz are next at 7-2. That article at ESPN.com. It is time for noon on a Friday. I've got a wide, wide assortment of prizes to squeeze into the envelope this week if you beat up your neighbor in the High Noon Showdown, including a $25 gift certificate to The Dive. If you heard the ads on the show, that place is an elite burger spot here in the 605. $25 gift certificate to The Dive and more goodies are all yours if you can beat up your neighbor in the High Noon Showdown. We will take caller one and caller number two in the High Noon Showdown on a Friday. How about you start the weekend a winner? 605-362-3776. If you're a first-time caller, first-time contestant, let me know. Got an ESPN Sioux Falls t-shirt for you if you win. 605-362-3776. The High Noon Showdown. Listener against listener. Coming up next on a Friday edition of Overtime. I got all sorts of goodies. You'll want to see what's in the envelope before too long. 605-362-3776. The High Noon Showdown on the way. Around the corner on Overtime, joined by NFL, college football, USD Coyote Preview, and more. 605-362-3776. You want to beat up your neighbor and win a prize pack? Number to dial, 605-362-3776.